cannot please everyone, but what you can do is build the confidence that, you know, God gave you this creativity. It's within you. You were born with it. You're actually offering beauty to the world. So what you can do is just really taking care of yourself.
I'm Michael Gloster, and this is Fashion Cast. We're talking to fashion leaders and disruptors as we seek inspirational stories and expert insight into the world's most dynamic industry. Heard in over 70 countries, we're building an international fashion community based on fashion topics that matter. Please visit our website, fashioncast.co, to join our email list and learn more. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the 50th show anniversary of FashionCast. You're in for a celebration episode as we interview Somi Medeni, the award-winning international fashion designer. Born and raised in Saudi Arabia, Somi was educated and makes London, UK her home. As a Middle Eastern woman, Somi has persevered through cultural barriers and multiple personal challenges to build a successful and thriving fashion business. When she's not designing, she can usually be found parenting her two children, teaching fashion, or inspiring others in the field through her philanthropic organization, Somi Talent Academy. Somi Medeni is joining FashionCast from London, UK. Welcome to FashionCast, Somi. We are so excited to have you on our show.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be part of this legendary platform. So excited and happy. Thank you so much for having me.
Can you please briefly explain how you entered the world of fashion?
Of course. So when I came to London in 2016, it's a very funny story. I couldn't speak English at that time. Of course, my priority was others. My priority was like to find a house and a job and to be able to cater for my kids. So I had to learn the language, of course. I go to my local college to apply for English GCSE, and then I see Access for Fashion, the course, and then you know, I'm at the office applying, and I tell them like I wanna apply for Access for Fashion, and then they tell me, you know, like you still have to need your GCSE English, like you can't speak English, and this is where fake it until you make it comes up. Like, I know how
the imposter syndrome. I know that one.
I was like, I can't speak English, but I'm just shy. And then I told them I'm doing it while I'm doing the Access for Fashion. So I've done Access for Fashion for 1 year, and I would literally go college, do Access for Fashion, which is a course I really enjoyed. I enjoyed it so much. I would come home, put friends on with the Arabic subtitle, and then just repeat after them so I can learn English. And this is why for the longest time ever, I had an American accent.
Oh, from the show Friends.
Oh, and, slowly.
And now she has the British accent.
Yeah. Slowly, I've learned.
That's amazing.
This is how I literally, I just felt like it was calling me. And after that, I've done, continued, of course, with the studies because I was like hungry to learn more. Done my bachelor in fashion design, and then, of course, continued with the master's in fashion and business.
That's an amazing story. And so it's been, 8 years, right?
Yes, 8 years.
It's such a short runway to learn English, which I still don't even hardly know, it seems like. And then to embrace the whole fashion industry in the world and come out this amazing designer. It's incredible. I think that's something to speak highly in terms of your own personal grit and commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were born and raised in Saudi Arabia. Then you came to London, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So why did you choose to live in London?
Well, this is something about London. You know, when you think about fashion capitals, everyone thinks about Paris, Milan, New York. To me, London was different because London has more to offer. London has the diversity. And people learn from people. I learn from people really quick. And that, you know, that hunger in me to learn more. Like, you know, you go to college, you know, you go to university and you learn all in a theoretical way. But the real the real learning happens in real life when you, when people share their experience, when they talk about things. And I think, you know, having different people from different background sharing their cultures, sharing their history, talking about their fashion of from their country, it's something that was really fascinating for me. So I would choose London all over again. And it's a fast city, a city that, like, you know, it has a lot to offer and it feeds that hunger inside me. I want to learn more. I want to do more. I do believe, I genuinely am that delusional that I believe that I was made for more. And London gives me that. London feeds that delusion side of me.
Yeah, it has that energy. I love London.
Well, the last I checked, there were just a few outstanding designers that came out of London, you know, like 100 million of them. There's some great, great designers that have come out of London. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously McQueen, you know.
Of course. Just,
Paul McCartney's daughter, right?
Yeah, of course.
Stella McCartney, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the list goes on and on. Of course, they have all the great fashion schools. So that whole city is immersed in the fashion culture.
That is true. And there's still so much to learn. There is still so, it has so much to offer. The city has so much to offer.
So how is the city embracing Somi London, your brand? When did you start your brand, Somi London? Why did you pick that name? And it seems like you're doing quite well in the heart of, you know, one of the fashion capitals of the world.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot coming from you. I've started Somi London in a, it was a huge, it was a coincidence. I always knew I'm going to start my own brand, but of course I wasn't, didn't know that I'm going to start it the way I did. So what happens that while I am on my third year of my bachelor degree, lockdown happens. So this was 2020. And that was like a slap in my face. I was like, all this life, I was just, you know, back then in Saudi Arabia, women didn't have that much of freedom that they're amazingly having it right now. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't achieve much there. And I came to London, I'm just like, ooh, amazing. Now I can do whatever I want. I'm going to achieve things and I'm going to learn and I'm going to do things. Lockdown happens. It was literally like a slap in my face. And I was like telling myself, I didn't come this far just to sit home and do absolutely nothing and just look at my kids and just be a mother, which is an amazing job to do, by the way. They're such a blessing. I mm-hmm. had to say it. They're here.
They're listening. Be careful.
So I've just, you know, couldn't find a job. So I launched Somi London online. I've launched it on my birthday on 2020. January 14th was my birthday, so I've launched it on my birthday, and 2021. And as soon as lockdown, and I was just like modeling it myself, taking pictures and putting it online, going live on TikTok. Still didn't know anything what I was doing. Like a friend helped me with logo. And as soon as lockdown lifted, I got an invitation from London Fashion Week to participate on a runway, which I did. And it was just, it all started from there. It was a life-changing moment.
Wow. That, I mean, come on. That's an amazing story. How many people does that happen to where all of a sudden, yeah, London Fashion Week is calling you?
I was sending a lot of cold emails. This is something that all artists should do. Send cold emails. The worst that's going to happen, they're going to say no. That's it. Send a lot of cold emails. And that's what I was doing. I had time.
Yeah, great advice. You had plenty of time, yeah.
It seems like the culture that you grew up in Saudi Arabia influenced you some way, in the sense that you said, okay, I got to London and I felt free. So you were even more motivated than just, like, say, someone from America who moved to London. They may not have the same feeling and motivation. So how did your background and upbringing influence your design and then the startup of the company?
As a young child, my favorite thing to do was to go to weddings in Saudi Arabia, because it was where women would actually just dress up and look like queens. And it was literally, they would wear this big ball gowns, different colors, different silhouette. And I would just sit down and analyze how it was made. I always had that brain of like, okay, we have this in front of us. How is that was made? And I think that's something, this kind of mindset, it still helps me with my business decisions. And I'm just like, okay, I want to implement this, but is it possible? Instead of like, you know, most of artists were just in our head. We're just like, yeah, I want to do it. I want to do this. I want to do this. But we don't know how to implement it. I think that's something that influenced me, how much Saudi women actually know how to dress up and know how to dress up to the finest.
Mm-hmm. Middle Eastern women in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
They love dressing up at weddings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was just my favorite things to do. And of course, with all the opportunity right now in Saudi Arabia, which is very fascinating and exciting for women. It's the best time to be a woman in Saudi Arabia right now. They have different platforms that supports them. They have the government supporting them. They have there is more opportunity for women in Saudi Arabia than there is for men.
There's a lot changing with fashion and film, actually, in Saudi Arabia.
Well, you make a great point that I really haven't thought about, but the women of the Middle East seem to wear quality clothing, right? It's really high end. It's, in my mind, sustainable kind of thing. You know, you don't see, you know, I dare say there's an H&M somewhere in Saudi Arabia.
I'm sure there is now.
God, I hope not, but maybe.
Fast fashion is everywhere now.
But it,
yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good point. That's an amazing point. And so that would influence you in terms of some of the designs that you've incorporated into your brand are really high-end kind of stuff, it seems. You know, it's not, I mean, you do have the ready wear, you know, versus the bespoke and so forth, but we can talk about that.
So what is the mission of SoMe London?
SoMe London, to me, it's really more than a clothing brand, really more than just a fashion. It's my way to contribute to this life. I feel like, you know, in a world full of chaos and full of war and full of disgusting things happening around us, I'm doing my part into presenting beautiful artwork, beautiful masterpiece that can actually act like a momentary escape for a person, that can touch someone's soul and can just be, you know, they can just escape the reality for a moment and just be in awe, just to looking at my designs and just deeping it. That's really one of my missions that, you know, I want to be the SoMe London needs to be the glimpse of hope for people that there is still beauty and grace in this world.
I just love that mission. Yeah, we need beauty in this world.
It's a beautiful
kind of like the Renaissance period. You know?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful
message.
We need
art and beauty in this world.
Can we work for you, SoMe? or can she work for, I mean, how do we do this?
We collaborate.
Yeah, I love her passion. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an
beautiful
amazing
mission.
I think, yeah, because the mission isn't separate from you, really. You're living the mission, which is really cool. Which
yeah.
is really, there's another lesson. My God, how are we ever going to make it through this podcast? It's just a big educational kind of thing going on
yeah.
here. Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. You have really thought through this. Really, really, really thought through this.
I do a lot of staying still and finding out why I do what I do. And to me, this is really more than clothing brand and more than just the fashion. Fashion has always been just more than a fashion, but people don't talk about it. Politicians choose certain style to go to certain meetings because they're trying to send a message through fashion. Fashion is actually a way to, a way of expression without really using the words.
What percentage of your business is bespoke versus ready to wear?
So when I started my business, it was all bespoke. It was all couture pieces. I had a vision that I wanted, just such a big vision. I'm going to design clothes for the red carpet only.
Keep that vision going. Yeah.
Which ended up happening. So my dream wasn't really that big. But also I chose the bespoke and made to measure because it was the sustainable approach and it was the cheapest way to start a business rather than having a stock. So it's been only new, like literally July, I've launched my ready to wear. And it's the first collection that I have. And I have a stock ready to sell with 5 unique designs for women. Because I was just like, you know, it's always really nice to dress celebrities, make those statement pieces. But I felt like I wanted more. I wanted the everyday women as well to wear my designs, women who are, you know, hardworking, who are trying to achieve something, who are building their dreams brick by brick. And this is why I launched a collection that's called The Time Is Now. The time is now to do that thing that you have been, you know, procrastinating and not doing. And the time is now to go after your dream. The time is now to take after yourself. The time is now to do whatever you want to do with your life.
What a beautiful message.
You should be writing a book.
I know.
This is crazy.
I hope you have a diary.
Yeah, motivational. We've interviewed quite a few authors. In fact, we have another one coming up. And it's amazing. I mean, your story is just amazing. I'm not sure you know how amazing your story is, quite honestly. I mean, you seem to know, but I don't think you know from this side. It's really unbelievable.
This year has been a year where I don't have that much imposter syndrome, and it's been a lot of growth. And it's been only because I've been taking care of my mental health and getting the help that I need.
So let's just talk about Somia London. You've now have this, you know, Time Is Now collection, 5 designs. And one, how have you incorporated sustainability into that? Because these are essentially luxury pieces. And so I know that there's this concern and emphasis from your standpoint and from the way you go about your business, it has to be sustainable. So we're interested in that. And then where is the line primarily sold? Is it primarily sold online, or is it in some boutiques and stores too?
Great question. Sustainability, of course, it's a core beliefs of Somia London, and it's something that's very important, and it's a responsibility on us as fashion designers, because as you know, fashion is the second most polluting industry in the world. It's something I actually do go and lecture about it as well at universities, because it's so important. The difference is as well that we really still don't have a proper book about, or rules to follow about sustainability. So the things that I implement in my business in terms of sustainability, one, we offer lifetime repair. On all of our couture pieces, we offer lifetime repair. Two, I buy my fabrics from off shelf, from a local shop in London. He gives me a great deal and on fabrics that he cannot sell. And based on that, actually, I create the whole collection. I have different things to think about when I'm creating collection, but one of them is the fabrics. And of course, like using recycling packaging and all that.
So you're talking about using dead stock, where, you know, a lot of these particular fabrics aren't being sold, or they're not as popular or whatever. And then you're walking in and using them in a very unique way. So that's really cool.
And the whole lifetime repair, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a Patagonia kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to share a secret. I really hope I don't regret this.
Your secret's safe with us.
One of the reasons as well that I use a lot of black in my designs, it's not just because I love the color. It's because how much black fabric out on the dead stock people have.
Oh,
this is
one
of the other reasons I use a lot of black as well, because
it's also very timeless.
Well, it's very smart, because you don't have to add a lot of color to black for it to look very classy or classical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very smart. Yeah. Plus, I'm sure you look great in black with the black hair and the skin.
I do wear a lot of black myself.
Yeah, I just need to work with the silhouette, add, maybe manipulate the fabric, do something about it to make it look exciting. But I use a lot of black. One of the reasons why I use a lot of blacks, I mean, of course, it fits the brand, it's classy, it's timeless. But one of the reasons is this as well, because of the off-shelf fabrics.
We will be right back with Somia after this word from Ome Organics, omeorganics.com.
Hi, I'm Christine. You may know me as co-host of Fashion Cast, but I'm also the founder and CEO of Ome Organics. I believe skincare should be simple. Our hyaluronic cream is all you need to nourish your skin morning and night. Sourced from the highest quality organic ingredients from around the world and manufactured in an FDA facility right here in the USA, this incredible cream works to firm, deeply moisturize, and smooth the appearance of your skin. please visit omeorganics.com and use promo code FASHIONCAST to receive a 15% discount off your first purchase, and you will receive our monthly newsletter free. Now, back to the show. As you know, there is a current emphasis on body positivity in fashion. How have you incorporated inclusivity in your design?
At Somi London, I really believe that everyone deserves to feel good and deserves to wear a couture piece that's going to fit them right. And this is why we have our made-to-measure line. Like we take the measurement of the client and we make the dress to fit her real body shape perfectly. And of course, that will give, you know, if your dress fits perfectly, you're more confident, you're more happy about it. And it will make them feel so much better. And this is one of my mission as well. This is why I'm doing bespoke designs, because I do really believe, like Coco Chanel says, you can achieve anything if you dress for it. So I'm going to be creating those couture pieces that will fit them the right way and give them that confidence.
So the Time Is Now collection, does that have the traditional different sizes?
It does have the different sizes. We actually have different sizes. It goes up to XL, double XL as well.
Okay. Somi, what currently excites you most about the world of fashion?
Fashion Week. London Fashion Week is around the corner. There's literally 3 weeks left until London Fashion Week and 3 weeks left until my Malikat fashion show. Super, super excited to show the world this collection because it just means so much to me. And my collections are usually is a reflection or a diary of what's going within me. And this Malikat collection has been a journey for myself as well. The collection is inspired by ancient Arabian queens of Saudi Arabia, particularly in Al-Ula, where the Arab origin originated from. And believe it or not, those queens used to trade, they used to rule the kingdom, they were society ladies, they were women of power. And that's, to me, that's the real queen, a real queen of someone who, you know, it's not just a queen, a protector and a leader. And that has been, while I was working on this collection, it's been a personal journey for me as well to evolve into that woman. I'm super excited to show the world this collection. It's coming to you on 19th of September. And I'm actually hosting it in a polo club, in a ham polo club in London, because I had to find something that brings both countries together. It's, you know, the collection is Arabian, Saudi Arabian collection, but it's going to be shown in London Fashion Week. So what they both countries love, horses.
Horses, that's so sweet. I love it.
So we're having a polo match and then after that, the fashion show and of course, live music. And it's just, I can, you know, it's been very challenging organizing this event because this time I wanted to be full hands on because all this time, like I've been showing in London Fashion Week for 3 years now. I never got what I really wanted. Small ones, does not satisfy me anymore. So I was just like, this time I was the marketing person, I was the PR, I was the designer. So I'm literally like doing everything and it's just coming together really nicely. And of course, got the sense people to support me. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's coming together very nicely. I've been following your Instagram and I love the name Malikat, which means queens in Arabic, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and with the polo, with the horses, it's such a beautiful idea.
So what week is that going to take place?
It's going to be on September 19th.
In London Fashion Week, mm-hmm. Is it similar to the New York Fashion Week? It sounds like it is in the sense that the collections are shown at different venues across the city. Is that what is happening?
That is correct, yes.
And yours is huge. So this is not the first time you've incorporated horses into your collection, though. You know, where does this love of horses come from?
Again, I think it was 2022 or 2023, while I was going through very hard depression and I was suffering from anxiety very badly. Went to my homeland, Medina, where I was born, and that's where my family lives. And, you know, my therapist was like, you need a new hobby. You need to try something new. You need to do something new. And I was thinking, what can I do? No, I don't like going to gym. I don't like dancing. And then I was like, okay, let me just go and try horses. And a friend of mine actually introduced me to a stable called Mahalawi in El Medina. Shout out to them. They were like, my coach was amazing. And I didn't know that they were doing equine therapy there as well. At that time, I didn't understand that such a thing existed. I didn't had no idea about it.
Can you explain that? The therapy with the horses?
The therapy with the horses is literally you are riding the horses, mm-hmm. but the beauty with the horse is that the horse mirrors your energy.
Oh,
the
yes.
horse feels mm-hmm. you the way you feel yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Arabian horses are not trained like the horses here in London.
Yeah, I have a couple family members in Amman, Jordan, who are mm-hmm. equestrians. And like you said, it's just the energy. And it's, yeah, I mm-hmm. love that. It's very therapeutic.
It's very therapeutic. And it's like, I was going there every day. One, because I just felt so home. Like the way I went and the horse hugged me, I feel like tearing up right now. And it just felt for the first time ever. And horses are huge.
And these are Arabian horses? Those are very special.
Yes.
It literally felt like home. And my coach was just like, I think he felt it as well, bless him. And he was just like, there. And he's like telling me what to do all the time. And slowly, slowly, the horse started listening to me. And the horse only started listening to me when I stopped being anxious.
Well, you're a beautiful woman, Somi. I'm sure like all the Arabian horses were lined up. They saw Somi's on her way in.
Those are Arabian fighting. Horses. They're very stubborn.
Yeah.
Oh, the pictures the shots you took on your Instagram of you and the horse is just yeah. unbelievably stunning.
Yeah, it's stunningly beautiful.
So you just started, I mean, you said 2022, this is just a new passion or hobby of yours.
It's just, honestly, my face just changes when I'm around them. And it's something I never knew how much love I have for horses. And it helped me a lot in my depression. And, you know, like the horse is all about teamwork. It's about trusting yourself and being calm in difficult situations. All of those challenges like people face, we face it within ourselves, but it's very hard to deal with. But horses actually taught me how to deal with it because I was doing therapy. It wasn't really working. I'm a very practical person. I need something that's practical. And horses played a significant part into healing me, healing my inner child.
And they helped you a lot with your anxiety.
Anxiety and trusting myself more. And yeah, a lot.
So you've been outspoken about mental health and self-care for artists. Is this part of your prescription, essentially, is to learn, you know, to do this? What are you calling is it like an equestrian kind of therapy? How are you promoting the mental health and self-care for artists beyond that?
I'm very happy to announce that with my Melikat event, I'm actually supporting a charity called Burnfield Charity, which provides horse riding and horse therapy and equine therapy for kids who suffer from anxiety and depression. So like this, I'm just incorporating mental health with fashion, and they're going to be part of the event. They're going to have the publicity. People are more going to know about them because fashion is a great way to raise awareness. And I feel like I need to use my platform to raise awareness because as artists, we don't really talk about it, but let's be realistic. Okay, fashion is such a superficial industry, and it's a very hard industry. I love business. Business is easy. Numbers, strategy, super, super easy. Come to fashion, people either gonna love you or hate you. There is nothing in between. It's an industry based on people's approval. So us as artists, we're always questioning ourselves. Oh, I made this design. I'm not sure if my client's going to like it. I'm not sure if people are going to think that this. It's, you know, we have to do it. It's part of it. You cannot please everyone. But what you can do is build the confidence that, you know, God gave you this creativity. It's within you. You were born with it. You're actually offering beauty to the world. So what you can do is just really taking care of yourself, working on yourself, loving yourself. And I cannot even, like, you know, it's such a cliche thing to say, like, you need to love yourself, you need to take care of yourself. But it actually brings a lot of good results in your life because that reflects, you know, when you present your design and you know for sure that this is an innovative design, this is a design that came from within you, that you know, it's your talent, it's your idea, and it's you're adding value to people's lives, to the world by showing this design, you will feel so much better. You will feel less stressed. You will feel less anxious. So definitely a supportive community is important as well for an artist, but also, you know, just make peace with yourself. Just know that, you know, you have the talent and you have it for a reason. Anyone who is criticizing you and telling you that you're not talented, they don't have it. They weren't born with it.
They just don't have good taste.
Yeah. That's it.
How could you not like Somi's designs? They just simply don't have good taste. Sorry.
Well, that never happened yet.
Wow, that's quite the comment you just made. I would say it's safe to say the therapy is working quite well mm-hmm. for you. Yeah. Wonderful.
Oh, yes. Oh yes.
So to put this show together for September, and it sounds like there's all these moving parts and there's a lot of collaboration. Uh-huh. In terms of Somi London, if you personally were to collaborate with any specific designer, brand, luxury retailer, have you thought, geez, if I had my wish, it would be X or Y, or what person, company, or brand would it be? Or do you even want to collaborate? Maybe you don't want even care to collaborate.
The person who I do really want to collaborate with is Lady Gaga.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful. Perfect. Can you set that up?
Can I? I'll try. Why? Why do you choose her?
One, because she really presents fashion the way it is. She's telling us stories. She is expressing herself. She's screaming with fashion. She's not just wear clothes. She screams fashion. She has things to say, and she says it through fashion. And two, because she's a kind artist. I've never, ever worked with any influencer or any celebrity who doesn't do add value to this life. And with her charity, you know, she's advocating for kindness. She's helping young artists. She's actually being the change that she wants to see in this world. And she's such an inspiration for me. Like, away from her music, I would say, like, I'm not a huge fan of all her music. I like her, like, some of her music. But as a personality, as who she is, I'm a huge fan. She's real.
I could totally see Lady Gaga wearing one of your feathered jackets, the blazers with the feathers. I could totally see her wearing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So have you reached out to Lady Gaga?
Of course I did. I followed up 100 times as well.
I know her father. I mean, she's from New York. Her father lives in New York. He's quite accessible. I hear him on some of the business channels. She seems to be fairly accessible. So that would be, yeah, incredible collaboration. I don't think it's out of the realm for you.
No.
I don't think it is.
Nothing is.
Yeah.
Look at all those Lebanese designers, Zuhair Murad or Elisab, or, you know, they're dressing all the celebrities. They came from Lebanon, tiny country in the Middle East. I mean, if they can make it, I mean, come on. And there's, I don't know of any big female Middle Eastern fashion designers. So you're next.
I'm next.
Inshallah, right?
Inshallah.
So, Somi, what do you believe are some of the, I mean, you've been in fashion now, I mean, kind of in the trenches for the last 8 years, kind of working on your brand, getting the education firsthand, going through some serious challenges with the business. And what do you think are some of the greatest challenges that face the industry?
I think one of the greatest challenges that we have in the industry, lack of guidance, lack of mentorship, lack of leaders. It really seems like all other businesses, all other industries figured it out, even music industry, even like, you know, artists who paint, they still have some sort of like roadmap they're following. But fashion, it's an industry where everyone is keeping it to themselves. No one is sharing their knowledge. And everyone's just trying, it really seems like everyone is just trying to figure out what to do next. And it's something I'm really against. And this is why I actually launched Somi Talents Academy, because I do want to share my knowledge. I do want to uplift others. I do want to, you know, help designers, upcoming designers, find what they want to do, what kind of direction they want to take, because fashion has different directions. And us as artists, we lack structure already anyway. It's so hard for us, for our brain to have a structure and to focus. So this is, you know, I'm doing my best to do my part in fashion, but I really wish if I had a mentor in fashion. I do have a mentor in business. I don't have a mentor in fashion. It's not because I didn't look. There is actually none.
Okay, so who would be a great mentor for you? Would it be a woman or a man? Designer?
It would be a man.
Why is that?
Well, because, come on, it's like universal law. A feminine energy is complete by masculine energy. Mm-hmm, so of course, mm-hmm. I have a feminine brain, a feminine energy, and I want someone to complete me and make open my eye and make me understand things that I don't see and I don't understand it. Because I don't know everything. I want to know more.
Well, yeah, and there's so many great designers. But, I mean, are you talking like a Tom Ford kind of designer?
Yeah.
Okay. Christine, are you on top of that?
Yeah, definitely.
You've got, it's very hard. You've got a lot going. You've got to get Lady Gaga.
I need some
Tom
mentors
Ford.
Too.
Yeah.
He keeps on saying, like, Christine, can you do that? You know what? Today, actually, I was, again, London. This is why I chose London. I was having my coffee in the morning. And of course, I love dogs. And I saw that old couple with their dogs. And of course, like, can I say hi? And I was just playing with the dogs and just talking to them and saying hi. Turns out that woman was working in the early 80s. She was working in fashion, but she left it because it was a very hard industry. She just felt very lonely because she had her own business. And she just felt really lonely. There is no collaboration. There is collaboration, but it rarely happens. You know, with, of course, especially when you have your own startup and your own startup in business. But then she was actually saying that it's an industry where everyone is just keeping it to themselves.
There's no support. Well, hopefully you can build that community.
I'm really looking forward. This is one of my missions as well, because, you know, like, I don't understand why it's not there. One of my students who actually started with me last year, this February, she already went to New York Fashion Week and London Fashion Week. And that is literally a bliss that no money can buy. Like, it's such a great feeling knowing that you can actually guide someone and advise someone that just changed their whole life.
Yeah, that's very powerful.
What are your goals for SoMe London over the next 5 years?
Oh, I want to continuously growing and developing my design. I want my designs to become bigger and better. And of course, expand globally. I want women's around the world to wear SoMe London. I want to, of course, implement more sustainability into the business. And the last thing would be using the platform to promote ethical fashion and create a community of creatives coming together and uplifting each other and collaborating instead of competing. It's a dream. And I cannot wait for it to happen.
I love that. Yeah. And good luck on your upcoming show. I'm so excited to see your new designs.
Thank you. I'm so excited to show the world my design as well. This collection is something else.
Those are some killer goals. Yeah. I mean, the ethical fashion, the community of creatives. It's interesting because we have, you know, all these different shows to kind of lean back on, and they're going around in my head about all these people who would be perfect for you to collaborate with. But you know what, Somi, where can Fashion Cast listeners reach you?
They can reach me on LinkedIn. Just research Somi Madani, and Instagram as well. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Somi London.
So why did you choose the name SoMe London?
SoMe is my nickname, of course. And I chose it because I wanted to women around the world, when they wear my designs, to say, this is SoMe.
This is SoMe, isn't that great?
SoMe.
What's your full name?
Somaya.
Somaya. And SoMe for short.
Yeah.
This is SoMe. I love that idea. I love that. SoMe Madani, it has been an honor and a pleasure to have you on our show. Thank you so much for appearing on Fashion Cast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Such an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me here. And I hope that I did add value. And if I can be in any help, please do reach out.
Thank you for listening to Fashion Cast. To hear more shows and join our email list, please visit our website, fashioncast.co. You can also join us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Until next time, I'm Michael Gloster for Fashion Cast, the voice of fashion.